warning him, including myself, that, oh, what a soul that has passed. I'm not somebody that particularly listened to his music, but one of these days I was in the bus coming home and then scrolling through TikTok. That song, there was this one of his song called Akwanumo or whatever it is, and somebody was explaining it. Whilst I was listening to the explanation, the meaning hit my soul so hard. I felt like I should leave this country, UK, immediately and go to Ghana and then do the work of God. Because I don't know if he knew that he was singing the song, whether for unbelievers or believers, but his origin has been as a gospel singer before. But he was saying how he has sacrificed his soul to do whatever he wants to do. But in the meaning of it, meant that for all of us that would want to fulfill God's divine purposes and destiny for us, we must be on the path of sacrificing our soul for that purpose. And Jesus reiterate on that. And Matthew 16:24 to 26, he says, Jesus said to his disciples that if anyone wishes to follow me as a disciple, he must first deny himself, set and take up his cross to endure whatever may come by following me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes, 25, for whoever wishes to save his life in this world would eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it in the life for all eternity. So here, there is an assignment for your soul that comes from God, that would allow the soul to attain eternal life only when the soul has made a conscious effort or a conscious decision within the soul that I am living for God through death. As in, I want to do this for God to the point where I want to lose my soul doing that. I don't know if there's any other English way I can put the last scripture, which says that whoever loses his life, it's not whoever would in at the end of your life you die. It's a decision now. If you decide to lose your life, and this life we are talking about, if you decide to lose your life, for the purpose of fulfilling that divine destiny that God has called you to, then you would have eternal life. Hallelujah. But if the decision to live is not influenced by a life that has sacrificed a soul already for God, then the likelihood is that Jesus is saying that you will still lose that life to death, but you might not attain eternal life. So I have a word for your soul. Because I know if I speak to your brain would tell you, no, I need to slay. I need that mansion first. I need this first. I need that first. That is what we tell. In fact, these days, the slogan out there is that we all die, so why don't you enjoy life? It is one of the most deceptive saying out there. Yes, we will all die. But Jesus painted a picture that the ratio of life here compared to eternity is not even like blinking an eye. When you die and you wake up in consciousness after death, you would wonder, where has 80 years, 90 years gone on earth? Where has it gone? And you will realize that, as God says, it is only but a smoke, a breath, just like a puff, then it withers, it fades away. That is how it is. It's not in existence. You cannot compare that life to eternity. So if anybody is telling you, let's enjoy life, after all, which if you knew, and when we die, there is nothing. Look, you are being lied to. The parables Jesus spoke concerning Lazarus and the rich man, they were to give us a picture of the future. That very soon, the life system would change from the time zone into the eternal zone. And people's state, whether you were rich or poor, would change. Let me tell you, when you decide, when you have the knowledge that life is short, it should not be a license to abuse life, but it should be a wake-up call to live life so wisely, intently, dedicating it to a sacrificial life towards the things of God, than to think that life is short, so let me do anything that I want. Let me tell you, one of Satan's greatest motivation in the things he do amongst us, according to the book of Revelation, is that Satan knows that his time is short. And so because of that, he is desperately angered to do more within that short space of time. Look, Satan knows that God would judge them. He knows he's passed on the first death. The state of the angels are irrevocable because their spirit were perfected spirit before the fall. So he knows that he's in an irrevocable state. And for that matter, there is no salvation for him. So he's awaiting his judgment. And so to him, the only thing that bounds him, that he's afraid of, is that his appointed time. And because of that, he is working circumspectively. God tells us that we should know that the days are full of evil. So we should walk wisely. And when you tell people the days are full of evil, they build a mansion, put a gate on there, lock it, and think that they have escaped evil. And then they have light in their room. No, that's not what we are talking about. That's not what we are talking about. So every man in their soulish realm should wake up, like Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I repeat this on this platform, and I say that people do not have the trembling in their heart anymore because they have been highly desensitized to the fact that there is even life after death. People only wake up to a place of fear when something bad happens and we feel like death is coming. That's when suddenly people are like, oh, forgive me. Sometimes I watch some of these videos that are so funny, that in an aeroplane, suddenly it looks like there's going to be an accident. And because of that, you realize that people start calling on God. Oh, God save us. Oh, God do this. People will start doing the rosary sign, the cross sign on their head. That's when they want to be saved. Hey! You want the cross moment experience. So the word to your soul is this. Listen, God is saying to your soul that your soul must embrace death. Your soul must decide, as the singer said, your soul must decide to sacrifice now. You should live a life that you know that you, as far as your soul is concerned, it has been sacrificed in God. That mindset makes you live a different kind of Christian life. He that sacrifices, for the one that decides that he is living for God, because of that he has lost his soul to God, now would attain eternal life. It is a hard saying, because if you meet a soul that is dead in God, Do you know what happens? How many of you have met a soul that is dead in God? How does a soul that is dead in God looks like? Let me tell you. To know a soul that is dead in God, look at a dead body. You know, we say just to, because of the event, let me write on it a little bit. They said that, oh, Lumba is dead. Lumba Oko, he's gone. Where did he go to? But his body is there. Where has he gone to? Yes, where is the soul going? Where has he gone to? Why did the soul not decide to live in the body? Where has the man gone to with all the fame, the name, everything that he's been given, called, talked about? Where has it gone to? Is the soul not happy to live in the body? Where has it gone to? Okay. Now, if you want to know a soul that is dead, look at the dead body. Why are people crying? His body is there. Why are they crying? Why are people wild that he's gone? It will happen to all of us. But watch this. If truly you are a dead soul, the number one thing is that your carnal body becomes irresponsive. Your body, the flesh, does not respond. You could have the worst. Look, as Lumba is dead now, he's the one that said, in a place where you have more than 100 people or something like that, it's only probably 2 people that likes you. So he was aware of pretentious enemies that lives amongst us. Now that he's dead, do you know that even his enemies will go and tell the wife that, oh, whatever, we are sorry, oh, this, that. There are people that... if a lot of dead bodies could wake up at funeral meetings, it would be chaos. But people that he owes, people that owe him, they will all be present. And none of them will be able to speak to him, the body, and the body would make a response. Why? Because the soul has left the body. What am I saying to you? If indeed your soul is living that sacrificial life that Christ is calling, there will be a visible impact. There will be a tangible impact. There will be a reflective impact. There will be there is an impact that cannot be denied, that this person is a different being. Yes, this person is a different being. But because your soul is not dead in Christ, your body, your carnal senses are so awakened that every little thing seems to provoke you to respond by the flesh. Whether it is lust, whether it is anger, whatever it is, we see it in action in the body. Because why? The soul has not been put to death. The soul has not been put to death. Hallelujah. I've come to speak to your soul. We all want our soul to live, but in Christ, he wants our soul to rest. Do you have a resting soul in Christ? When trouble comes, let us see. The Bible says that Christ was in the boat with the disciples. I mean, it is a crazy story. In the midst of a storm, and then they describe Jesus as being fast asleep. So fast asleep that calling him, he couldn't hear them. But in their environment, they were experiencing a storm that they were afraid of for their life. They said that, "You care not that we perish." What was the difference between Christ and these men? What was the difference between them? These guys were so scared for their life that while the storm was ongoing, they already knew that they were dying and fear had gripped them. The difference between them is not the power to say to the storm, "Peace, be still." That was not it. The difference between them is fear of their life. Many people react differently in the storms that they go through. Why? Because their soul, as I say, their soul is not resting in God as God wants their soul to rest. And that alone can affect your God-given destiny. Because in the midst of it, you would act differently. You can do anything. You can take any decision just on the fly that would affect you permanently. Hallelujah. The soul. I've said this several times here that the soul is one of the most sophisticated, very important thing that God has ever given to a human being. You know, listen very carefully. And when we are speaking about the soul, it is one of the open things you could hear. I mean, some of you, if you would testify, how many times since you became a believer that you've ever in a single sermon been told specifically about your soul, that you now become aware of the dimension which your soul lives that you are conscious of. Because let me tell you this, most of you think that your soul is your brain. No. When you have a problem with your brain, which is the flesh, we will give you medicine, we will do surgery. But if you have a problem with your soul, which is your mind, we will bring you as a psychologist who will be there and will be speaking to your soul. Do this. You know, when this thing happens, this is how you... So, he's trying to counsel your soul. We are not using something to touch that physical brain. So you see that there are dimensions to your being. Hallelujah. But one thing you need to understand is that your soul is very, very delicate. So you must make sure that anything that would have a soul entanglement enter your soul, that has the ability to either affect the soul, do anything to the soul, harm the soul, please guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Jesus made a profound statement that it is not what goes into the body that defiles the body, but what comes out of the body is what defiles the body. And the Pharisees were upset. They are upset both in the ways that he was trying to speak about their conduct and their nature, but also the truth is that he was speaking about the impact of the soul. We all know that if a person takes in something that is not good, we think that it defiles the person. But what Jesus was speaking was that if you are hearing something, if you are seeing something, if you are participating in something and it enters your soul, we would have a response that is coming back because there is a produce of what you heard. And he says that that is what defiles the person. But if a person takes in something and he guards his heart and does not receive that thing and rejects it, then he will not speak back out of what he has heard, because it will not produce a seed in him. That is why God tells us we should guard our heart. We should be careful of what we hear and what we see. A lot of us open our souls to a lot of things that torment us. Even not hearing, but not hearing from outside, but hearing internally, we are able to tell ourselves, either I'm cursed, either I'm this. We self-speak to our soul in a derogative way, in a way that is condescending to the state of the soul. Don't do it. No matter what, don't do it. What goes into a man It's not what defiles the man, but what comes out of the man. So Jesus is saying to you that you have authority over what you hear, and you have authority over what you see. Don't allow it in. Okay. Another thing I want to tell us here tonight. People participate in so many things that they think that it is practically just participating in things that are, you know, we went to church, we did this, and I did some, or we went to a meeting. These days, they've polished it. Like I said to you, it is really taking them. First, it was very prevalent among men, where young men that are desperate for wealth will participate in a whole lot of things, you know. But these days, they've recruited the women into it. Small women groups, this, that, sisters of this, ladies of that, and whatever. And gradually they'll be introducing themselves to something, and they will come, oh, this is our tattoo, and then they will put their group tattoo on them, or this is our group, this is what we put on, and then they will put it on, participate in a whole lot of nasty stuff. But they do it so subtle that many people do not know that gradually their soul is participating in things they are not supposed to. Recently, there is this introduction of soul travel, where people engage in astrological, inquiries. They are using the astrology to predict their destiny. If God does not help you, the moon cannot help you. If God does not help you, the sun cannot help you. There are people who have sat in their home, been part of this whole astrology thing, and they've messed up their life big time. As in, they are doing soul travel, moon inquiry, moon this, moon that. Let me tell you a mystery here, and I think I've said it before. Let me tell you this. Nicodemus went to see Jesus, John 3, isn't it? John 3, 2. Yeah. He says he came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things, these wondrous things that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered him straight away, assuredly and most solemnly I say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above spiritually, transformed and renewed and sanctified, he cannot ever see or experience the kingdom of God. Do you know what that statement means? Guys, I want everybody here on the platform to wake up. Do you know what that statement means? Look, a lot of people have joined churches, especially the so-called prophetic churches, and they've participated in things that are, as we speak, is still contending with their soul. Do this incense, this, bend this seven ones at this, recite this psalms, recite this at this time, do it this way. Oh, what is that? What is that? That scripture I just read to you, there is a principle universally. Anytime your soul would enter a dimension, it needs to have been born to that realm. Listen to me. It needs to have been born, I repeat, to that word, realm. Okay. Even on this earth, you or me, even me, as I'm here now, being a resident, anytime I will have to come to Ghana, I have to take a visa. Anytime you come to this country, you have to take a visa. Is that not true? What do you think are the legal implications? That you need a legal, lawful entry. If not, you are considered an illegal migrant. And what happens is that the police in the land will start looking for you. the immigration enforcement agencies will start looking for you. They will torment your life. You will not have access to bank accounts. You will not have. You will be. In fact, the only way you survive is to work with another person's paper. It is known to be fraudulent. Your survivor will be on a fraudulent state. I'm painting a picture here for you to understand, so that you would be careful with your soul. So, a woman somewhere sat on the telly and told you that she's going to teach you how to travel with your soul. A pastor somewhere, so-called prophet, Odumja, one touch, one see, one TV, one corner, said someone told you that he's going to help your soul to travel. And let me tell you the mystery about the human soul. Yes, the human soul can travel. The human soul can leave the body. The human soul can leave the body. It is not death, but it can travel. And this is the mystery of the human body, human soul, that it can obtain a level of energy and asset that it is wild and crazy. This is why demons like to live in the human soul. And let me say this to you. When a demon has possession of a person's body, he is not necessarily just living in the body. Let me make this thing clear. If a person is truly demon-possessed, the demon is living in the soul of the person. I think the way people used to think is that when we say that there is a person is possessed by a demon, the demon is living in the body with the person. No, it is in the soul. Because that spirit needs to dwell in the soul. They just don't dwell in an empty body like that. No, they don't do that. If not, like I said to you, every dead body that is in the grave will be possessed by a demon, and they will come walking about. No, it's not a dead. It's not an empty body they need. They need a body that have a dead soul living in it. Then they will live in that soul. Are you listening? Okay. So the human soul can leave the body. God made it like that. The things that you've read in the spirit, that you've read in the Bible, that the word of God says that I was carried by the spirit. The word "I was carried by the spirit" literally means that the spirit of God came and took the person's soul. He touched me and I was able to stand upon my feet. What happened is that his soul was weak in the presence of God, but the spirit entered into him. Do you realize that he says, when they are speaking, they say the spirit entered into me, but his body was not present. When you read the account of Revelation, you say, I was weak and the spirit entered into me and I stood upon my, and I saw whatever. No, it was his soul, but he says the spirit entered into. So it wasn't his body. It was the soul that was weak, present, but the spirit entered into the soul and he stood in the presence of God. What I'm making the emphasis that spirits live in the soul. Okay, so yes, your soul can leave your body. Let me talk about the demonic manipulation of this God-given technology. Because God created the human being in a way that at the end of days, the soul will leave the body. So yes, that exit is there. For the soul to depart from the body, it's not illegal. It's a legal process. He has to make it like that so that at the end of day, you leave the body there so that the silver cord will be cut. Spiritually, there is a silver cord. The opposite to the silver cord is what you call the umbilical cord. When you are entering into this world through your mother's womb and you come, there is a cord that connects you from your mother to this earth. It is the life-giving cord that is connected to you. That is called umbilical cord. Spiritually, if you look at it, it probably will not look like a flesh. Same way, when your umbilical cord that brings you into the entrance of this life is cut. When you are about to leave, there is another cord that connects you to your body. Your soul to your body. That does not, it's called the silver cord. It's in the Bible. When that silver cord is cut, then your soul will depart the body. When that silver cord is cut, No matter what you do, you will die. Meaning that you will leave the body. But listen to me. This is what happens. Every realm requires a legal status for you to enter that realm. And the legal status in which you enter that realm is through the concept of birth. Even in the kingdom of God, it is not like your soul could just be taken and then God will put you in the kingdom of God. No. The access into the kingdom of God is through birth. Birth. And we'll say, yeah, whoa, you need to be born into the kingdom. Are you listening? Please, are you listening? You need to be born into the kingdom of God. You can't just be taken and then you are put in the kingdom. You have to be born. Jesus made that statement explicitly clear. That principle is not only applied to the kingdom of God. It's applied to every realm of kingdom that exists. So anytime anybody tells you that we are taking your soul to go to another kingdom, the point is, who is giving you access? And if you are being given access, who is acting as your mother to give birth to you to that kingdom? If you understand the technicalities behind it, my question is, who is giving you access to that kingdom and who is giving birth to your soul? Because your soul must be reborn. Who is giving birth to your soul to that kingdom? The person says that he is doing a soul travel with you to go to, where do you want to go to? One of the planets. Where? Sometimes when they say they fly, they say they go to where? They'll come and mention some strange. The point is that which spirit is mothering you into that kingdom? Because for us, as long as the kingdom of God is concerned, the spirit that mothers us and give birth, because we are born by the spirit, that's what God says, into the kingdom of God. The spirit that mothers us, the spirit that mothers us and brings us into that world or the kingdom of God is the spirit of God. The question I'm asking you is that realm that you so traveled into, when you entered into that realm, what was your source of legality to be there? What access do you have to a bank account in that realm? Who welcomed you into that realm? Who became your spiritual mother that gave birth to you in that realm? Because when you were entering this earth, God didn't throw you in here. Even Jesus was born by a woman. So you, who gave birth to you in that soul travel, into that realm that you became conscious of? What I want you to understand that process is a very damaging soul experience. It is deeper than most of you know. It's a very damaging soul experience. You begin to give your soul to portals that you were not supposed to be. And let me tell you this truth. Most people that engage in these things, it happens that sometimes in their lifetime, they go mad. And madness is not a sickness that necessarily it's in the brain. Oh, madness is in the soul. When somebody is getting mad, when they go, they say, we've gone to look through his mind. There's nothing wrong with him, but the guy is going crazy. Hallelujah. Madness of a person is in the mind, as in not the brain, is in his soul. So listen to this experience. You went to church and a pastor came. Whoever he is, he says he lay hands on you, he's doing you soul travel. He is mothering you into another world, where you do not have resources divinely appointed by God for you to be there. So what happens is that immediately you encounter that realm, you open a portal that link you back, because the point is, who cuts your umbilical cord? Because in that realm, you don't cut your umbilical cord. Why? Because the moment you enter into that realm and your umbilical cord is cut, you won't come back to your body again. We will declare you dead. Please, are you listening to me? Yes, so a lot of people end up going to these things and they introduce them into the marine kingdom. Some of them, they bring them water. They are doing soul travel. They are doing soul travel, but they are initiated. We call them initiation, but the truth is that it's a bet. It's a rebirth. Satan is, through corruption, rebirthing your soul into another kingdom, so that there will be a link back to you in your body. Some of these things that I'm teaching, some of you, certain things will begin to awaken in you, as in things will begin to disturb you a little bit, but you need to fight it, because some of you, the initiation was started, but your soul did not conform to it, because there is a fighting soul. That's how we say it. Your soul did not conform to it, but there was an initiation. Some of you, you are even, when they, if it's a liquid or food or water or whatever, they will bless it and tell you to take some. And they will take, or they will give you certain leaves that they do this. You are going to travel. Some of you, too, because of this soul thing, they introduce you to the kingdom of dwarfs. Dwarfisms. Some of you, they introduce you to the kingdom of fallen demons who act as they call, you know what they call them, the most of the so-called prophets, young prophets in Ghana, they call them white angels, and they will say that as for those angels, they are good. Let me tell you the truth here, and it will be said on True Light platform only. Most of the so-called prophets you see that mention names, they are using these fallen demons. They call them white spirits. They are not white spirits. And they've become initiators from the pulpit, bringing people to this marine kingdom, this spirit. They are more than hookups. They are spiritual hookups. That's what they are doing. In fact, you know the statement in the book of John 10, the enemy come to kill and destroy. I don't, because of time, I would like to break that scripture down. Look, the killer, for the saved people are not out there in the world. They are in the pulpit that we go to listen to. Because that enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy, then it's a pulpit issue. It's a pulpit issue. But listen very carefully. You know, when Samuel died and he rested in his place of peace, do you know that Saul went to call the soul of Samuel? Good. We debate on this most of the time to say that, oh, it was a demon, it was this. But I want to tell you that it was Samuel. Yes, it was Samuel. Why? Because people practice necromancy. God warns of it, that those who consult the dead. Now, the reason why Samuel came is what I want to place emphasis on. And a lot of prophets do that. They consult dead men that are dead but are not in the bosom of Abraham. Now, the reason why it worked for Saul was because, you know, the woman asked, who are you that I should do this for? And he declared his authority. And that happened on the authority of who? Saul, being a king. So he bared the sin for doing that which God warned them not to do. So most of the prophets use you guys to be a medium and a link to speak to your so-called dead people. And you are sitting in the church clapping. Or consulted the spirit of the dead, necromancy. What does the living person has to do with the dead? What? But this generation, their soul does not fear a form of corruption. Their soul and their ears want to hear everything. So the dead person come and tell you, your family is this, your home is this, your home is this, your This is why I said to you guys the other time, you said that the dead has no memory. I will explain that to you at a point in time. And the spirit will say, your this is this, your this is that, your this. That, when you hear that, what happens to you? You might as well, look, you can go to the cemetery. If you like, go and try it for the next 7 days. A spirit will come and speak to you. You don't need that pastor. And on top of it, he will take the money. Many of you, through subtle, gullible ways, have exposed your souls to corruptions that are still, as we speak now, having, like, you are having issues, like, it's still affecting the state of your mind because there is a contention. You open yourself up to certain things you were not supposed to do. Direction. Every direction you do. Now, some of the direction when they give you, don't you fear? Are you not afraid of some of the directions they give you? Some of the directions are initiative ways. Look, it doesn't take long for you to like have an encounter with witchcraft or begin to practice witchcraft. We call it witchcraft. It's a craft. You practice. You put things together and then you begin to engage. And then your soul will begin to open up to it. Hallelujah. Somebody say my soul. Somebody say my soul. I want us to pray because of time. I have a few things to say, but because of time, I want us to pray. I want us to pray. You know, one of the most, and this is the last thing, and if you are here and you have been delivered, that's fine. You know, one of the most casual, kind of intimate thing that also exposes our soul to different realms and portals is sex. I say sex. I don't know how many virgins are here, but you are not shouting true, true, true. How many virgins are here? Yes. It is one of the things that directly can initiate you knowingly or unknowingly and bring a corruption to your soul, a defilement to your soul. Because you see, you have sex for pleasure, but sex is a medium of implanting a soul in the womb of a woman. I repeat, you have sex for pleasure, but to God, sex is a medium of implanting what? A soul. That sophisticated thing that Satan cannot even create. It's a medium of you, human being, having the only sovereign autonomous authority to implant a soul in the womb of a woman. So it is highly spiritual in nature. Highly, highly. You don't get it, eh? You know who you are. The process for making you who you are, the being that you are, is through that sex thing that happens. So it's highly spiritual. And it's become a portal to the falling of many, many great men and women. And so you will see that the very kingdom that is next to man, one day I'll preach about the marine kingdom a little bit because we are dealing with souls here. The very kingdom that is next to man, which is the marine kingdom, You know, the very kingdom closest to man is the marine kingdom. It is what demons would easily access than any other of the kingdom, especially those that are on earth. That is why the demons that were in the man asked that they go into the pigs. And when they went into the pigs, their freedom of living where they could freely live was to go into the sea. Those pigs, they are not there though. They are there chewing fish. They are not dead. You think they are dead? They are not dead. Yes. This is why the marine kingdom always take a stake in the in anything that is sexual but has the ability to bring in an initiation. Why? Because the process of mating and initiating intimacy includes a lot of what, like liquid, water-based substances. Not to be overly too deep about it, but what I want to say is that the marine kingdom has a way of influencing sexual desires and a way to initiate their influence in men. And it is all part of the seat of the kingdom that the enemy has taken hold on. You know, when God said in the book of Revelation, as you put there, was it Revelation 12, verse 12? He says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth," and where the and what? If you look at the scripture that Apostle put there, Revelation 12:12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth," and what? And what? Hello. And the sea. Guys, if you are not even reading your scriptures as we are preaching, look in the chat box. Apostle do put the messages there. You will see that it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the water and the sea." But when Jesus Christ came to save mankind, did he go to die in the sea? So what is that? What is it about those who live in the sea? What is it about the kingdom of the sea that has been left? One of these days, we will dig deep into it. And you realize that there is a kingdom in the sea with inhabitants that have been taken over. And you guys interact with them all the time. You don't even know. Normally, you do a lot of prayers against them. Kababa, kababa, call marine spirit, we break. But we are going to pray. All these things that I'm saying is not to put fear. But all these things that I'm saying is to let you be very cautious of the soul that God has given you. Extremely, extremely cautious of the soul that God has given you. Be extremely cautiously delicate about the soul God has given you. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, I've made certain mistakes in life, man. Because certain decisions rubbed on my soul. And to detach them is like removing flesh from you. I'm telling you. If we become so conscious, there are some hotels when you go there, you won't even sleep there. Soul. It's not the body or soul. But you care about the luxury of the body. Hey, it's nice, so we slept. Oh, we did that. Oh, that. No, it's not so conscious. Flesh pampering. Flesh. They feel, as long as it feels good to the flesh, is good. I'll continue. We are praying. We are praying in the name of Jesus. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "The enemy cometh, but he has nothing with me. He cannot demand anything of my soul. He had nothing with me." We are praying to God. Our Father, today by your blood, any stronghold, anything that I had with me, that was connected, had a link, gave the enemy an investment in me, let that thing be broken. In the name of Jesus. Let that thing be broken. I don't know if it's a soul travel, if it's a marine contact, if it's underworld contact, whatever, if it's dwarfism, the initiation has taken place. Whatever it is, by the power of the blood, let that be broken. In the name of Jesus, let that be broken. Lift up your voice. Let's pray for the next 2 minutes and we will go. In Jesus' name. It can all be broken by the power of the blood in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice. Every demonic portal that was once opened unto you, knowing or unknowingly, let that be shut in the name of Jesus. Bela Baba, we bear the keys of David. We shut and it cannot be opened. Let that be shut in the name of Jesus. Abiru atin dele madura katanda la babalaba. Ababala babala babala babadila babala babalaba. Izotolo madura katanda ya babaya babara baraba. Ya babala babaya babala babadila babadila ba. Mi papa la papa dala papa danda la papa la bala ba, papa la papa ya ba ya papa ya papa ya papa la papa la bala bala ba, ya papa la papa ya papa la papa la papa ya bala ba, e bala baba. Lift up your voice and pray, kapala ba. It is for your soul. It is for your soul. Kapili ya tata la papa dura papa dura la bala ba, azumtele madura kapa dada la papa la bala ba, papa la papa dila papa la papa dala. Babala balaba, ababala babala 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 balaba, ababala balaba. Satan will not have a stake in you. Satan will not have an investment in you. Break that by the power of the blood in the name of Jesus. Abiru atam dele balaba balababa, jato shatora badila babalaba, ababala babadila babadila babalaba, abandala babadila babadila baba, ababandala babala babatala baba, ababala baba. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wives. In the name of Jesus, set them free, Pala Baba, from every open umbilical cords that connect them to any initiation and netherworlds. In the name of Jesus, Apela Baba Dura Baba Tala Balaba, Apetala Baba Tila Baba Laba Balaba, Baba Laba Balaba 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 Balaba, Baba Laba Balaba Balaba Balaba. La baba la balaba, ababa la baba de la baba de la baba de la ba, ababa la baba de la baba tura baba de la baba la ba, ababa la baba de la baba la baba de la balaba, ababa la baba de la baba de la baba de la balaba, ababa la baba de la baba la baba la balaba, ababa la baba de la baba la baba la ba, ababa la baba la baba la ba, ababa la baba de la baba de la balaba, ababa la baba de la baba la balaba, ababa la baba ya baba la ba, ababa la baba. Ya baba la baya bala ba, ababa ya baba ya baba ya baba ya baya baya ba, baba ya baba la baya baya baba la baya ba, baba ya baba ya baba la bala ba, ababa la bala 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 baba la ba, baba ya baba la baba la baba de la baba, ipa la baba ya baba la baba de la ba, ipa la baba la baba la bala ba, ipa luwa danta la bala baba la ba, ababa la baba ya bala ba, baba ya baba ya baba la baya baba ya bala ba, ababa ya baba ya baba la baba de la ba. Apela baba de la balaba, ababa la baba ya baba la baba la baba, ya baba ya baba ya baba ya baba la bala bala ba, baba ya baba la baba de la baba la ba, ababa la baba la baba de la baba la bala bala ba, In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 23. Do you know, let me tell you, there are so many ways that wicked men can call or summon weak souls. Some of the spiritual battles you do, you go on the offensive. Most people on the offensive, but they'll be doing every nasty thing under the sun. You are going on the offensive with a weak armor. Oh God, indeed, if this is true light, may you enlighten this generation. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Please start reading. Listen very carefully. Please start reading. Good. Jesus, the glorified Jesus, stood before Paul and encouraged Paul. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave. And testify about me as you have done in Jerusalem. You must do same in Rome. Then what happened next? Wait. People with demonic and evil agenda also fast. Are you listening to me? Yes, they also fast. And this saying in the Bible, if you are not careful, you would think it was just people deciding that they won't eat. No, they just didn't decide they won't eat. They said that they've bound themselves by an oath. What are the terms of the oath? We don't know. And by what power are they binding themselves by that oath? And what are they demanding? The terms of the oath is that they are demanding for the soul of Paul. They said that they won't eat, to the extent that they had the audacity to go to the chief priest to lay down this petition that this oath has been laid down. Please read next. Under a solemn oath. Whether they cut their blood to seal the oath, whether they invoked another thing to seal, we don't know. But there was an oath that was deadly. It was determined oath. They were trying to summon the soul of Saul to weaken him, to kill him. And this is what I want you to understand, that weak souls can be manipulated. So, there are some of you believers, you don't even have to pray against anybody in church. I'm telling you the truth. What you need is consistent period of self-fortification for yourself. No need to go on the offensive against anybody. Since you've been raised in church, you pray any week, you pray all kinds of wicked prayers against people, but you live all kinds of life. And your soul is bare. We are praying our last prayer concerning our soul. Every form of wicked plot. And this man, they did this, but little did they know that Jesus was with Paul. So Jesus, knowing what was ahead and their intention, he came to tell the man, be bold. Jesus didn't come, tonight wake up. There are people that want to break the kata. No. He strengthened the man in his cause. I don't know what plot is against you, whether it involves 40 men, 100 men, 2 million witches and demons. I want to declare to you that plot will not stand in the mighty name of Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is with you. Open up your mouth and begin to pray. Every plot that is seeking for your soul, let the strength, the power of the word speak on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Kadala babala babadura madi. Abin torobo sitali madi atandala babala balaba. Ababala babala babadala babadala babara baraba. Abin torobo sitali atandala babala baraba. Iman durimi atandala babalaba. In the mighty name of Jesus, every member of True Light Ministry, every plot against your soul, every plot that is summoning your soul, let that be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that be broken in the name of Jesus. That plot will not stand. That plot will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Every summoning, every solemn oath that has been taken by the power of any gods, any spirit, it shall not stand. Let that be broken. Let that be broken. Let that be broken. Let that be broken. Let that be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that be broken in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. There is Jesus standing there saying that, be strong, be strong. Keep up the witness. Hallelujah. We believers find our strength in God when we do the biddings and the things of God. I'm telling you, it is one of the places of our great strength. So, serving in church, serving for God, doing things for this, for whatever ministry you are planted, sincerely is one of your greatest strength for your soul to thrive and do well. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful night. And go ponder over these things and pray. God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye.